You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. The Avery Microcomputer Lab in Avery Hall shows free movies every Friday at 5 p.m. Movies include Outfoxed, Talladega Nights, Brother, The Goonies, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Children of Men, and many more. For a full listing, visit the AML website at www.aml.wsu.edu. Want to go to the Sasquatch Music Festival? KZUU wants to send you. Call the KZUU Sasquatch plea line if you can convince us that you deserve to go. We'll send you and a friend to both days of the Sasquatch Music Festival, happening Memorial Weekend, May 26th and 27th at the Gorge. For more information, visit kzuu.org or call our Sasquatch line at 509-590-2207. That's 509-590-2207. Had a bad weekend? Need legal counseling? Student Legal Services at WSU is happy to help. Student Legal Services is a student-run organization that provides free legal advice to students. So if you need help, stop by their office in AdEdX, room 305. They're open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, and Friday, 9 to 1. KZUU DJs read public service announcements like what you heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Smith Gym, room 126B, or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office 335-2208. Tune in Mondays from 10 to noon to DJ Bang Bang as she plays from many female fronted indie rock bands. Congratulations, DJ Bang Bang. And you have how many more years here at WSU?
One
more. So you're a junior.
Yeah.
Super junior. Awesome.
What do you mean I say that?
You're not going to... Don't tell me you're going to be a Husky.
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh, no.
No. What are you going to be next year?
I'm going to Wales.
Going to Wales? Like Canada?
No, like... Would they spell it W-H-A-L-E-S? No.
Sorry. Where's Wales at? Alrighty.
It's right next to Ireland.
It's right next to Ireland?
Ireland.
Yeah, I was like, oh, geez. So Ireland, like, you're like going way overseas.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, what are you doing over there? Foreign exchange?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's pretty neato. Why? I definitely hope that you have some fun doing that. We're having a lot of fun in here. I think spring fever is definitely hitting. Spring Fest this last weekend. I think senioritis has definitely hit pretty hardcore this week. Anyway, KZUU is proud to be sponsored by Shirt Shack. For all your custom screen printing and embroidery needs, go to Shirt Shack. Be on the lookout for their new store opening in August, located above the old Varsity Sports. This is a huge expansion and will offer two great locations in Pullman. Now you'll have the added convenience of a store near campus. Visit myshirtshack.com or call Paul 334-2203. In the meantime, you can enjoy the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heads. And that's the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. On the telephone with me, I have Jay Edge, Jared Edgington from the Evergreen Football League. How are you doing today, Jared?
Oh, pretty good, Scotty. How are you?
I am doing great. It's good to hear you. If everybody remembers from last week, I put in some predictions on who's going to win what game, and how did I do?
You were just like me, Scotty, 4-0.
Perfect, 4-0. You know, this was the first week that I've done anything like this. Normally, I leave this to the experts. I just went ahead and, you know, went with it. And sure enough, I still get a 4-0 record, which shows that either I'm that good or it's just that easy. Which one do you think it
is? It is definitely not easy, Scotty. I'll tell you that much. This is the first week that I've had predicted all four games right, and quite honestly, it probably could be the last.
So we got some more fun matchups coming. So let's run through a couple of the games that took place. I know you went to Okanagan.
Yep.
To watch the Okanagan and State Line game. How did that run out for you?
It was a good game. It was a good game. Okanagan, for the first time, are experiencing the old injury bug. So they, including last year's defensive MVP of the year, Sean Townsend, the linebacker, he got hurt on the last play of the first half, was in at receiver, caught a pass, Me, I would have run out of bounds, you know, being that there was no way he could have scored and the time had expired. But he's a competitor, and he fought for that extra few yards and unfortunately took a helmet right in the middle of his back. So not certain of his status right now.
Now, is that an illegal hit if you get a helmet in the back?
It's just part of the tackle. It just happened. Same thing, the State Line Miners running back, Travis Herzog, face was on the ground, legs coming up over his head, and just in the middle of a tackle, somebody hit him in the middle of the back. So it's just part of the game. You know, happened right in front of me. It was a clean play. Unfortunately, he got hurt. So we'll find out. They had three key players get hurt, two knee injuries and two back. Actually, it was four. Two knee injuries and two back injuries in that game. So both teams are a little banged up right now.
All right. So, but overall, what happened in the who won? What happened in the game overall?
State Line won 21-7.
Okay.
Zach Henningsen.
We both expected that because we picked it.
Yeah. Both quarterbacks played well. Okanagan's quarterback Jordan Horner, he had his best game of his career so far. He played pretty well. They got a pretty decent running back in Eric Judd. He had some good gains. Herzog for State Line, like I said, he was getting warmed up. He broke a good 40, 45-yard run on him, and shortly thereafter he got hurt. So he was on track to have a good day. But the most impressive, I think, was Zach Henningsen, the quarterback for the Miners, and Jamal Allen, our standout wide receiver. They were at one with one another that night. I think Jamal had a good 10 catches, close to 200 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. So Zach was pretty impressive. He played quarterback at Whitworth, and so he had a good day.
Okay, so that was a good game overall.
Good game.
What do we have? Okay, so we had a few other games. We'll talk about the Palouse game last. Just because I just want to spend some more time on it, and I don't want to, you know, to me that's the part that matters more than, you know, I'm being locally biased here. That's our local team, so I gotta give them a little bit more airtime than I give these other teams. But you know, being that the Evergreen Football League is based right out of Colfax, Washington, the whole thing's local. So, we got Spokane and the Columbia Basin Bulls, and we know, what's that?
Riverhawks.
You're right. Sorry.
Okay.
Every year it's something a little bit different. They're either changing the mascot or where they're from. So, okay. So we got the Columbia Basin Riverhawks this year.
Yeah.
They played, they were at home with Spokane, the Sabercats coming in. Mm-hmm. What happened there?
Spokane won 37-12. Again, just like the previous two games, they were within, I believe it was 10 points, 9 points at the half. But Columbia Basin just doesn't have the depth that they need, and ran out of gas, and Spokane galloped away with a good victory. Ian Ashley, the quarterback for Spokane, threw for 300. Four touchdowns. He had one interception, but again, this was his best game of his career. And their running back, Nick Petrie, had 197 yards on 24 carries and a touchdown. He's number two in the league right now, right behind Brandon Tate for the star, Blue Mountain Stars. So, as far as I know, it was just a really good game, and most of the points were scored in the second half.
Okay, so we have Wenatchee was playing Blue Mountain Stars, and the Blue Mountain Stars are pretty much, they're like 4-0 and pretty much crushing everybody along the way. So
yep.
What happened in this one?
Well, these two teams, everybody knows last year, met in the regular season, and Blue Mountain lost in overtime in Wenatchee. And then they met in the playoffs, semifinals, and Blue Mountain avenged that loss, but it took an overtime to do it. So they split last year. Different story. Blue Mountain beat them 35-0 and intercepted their quarterbacks 6 times. They both quarterbacks had a really rough day. Brandon Tate ran for 144 yards, which takes him close to 600 yards in 4 games. He's well on pace of breaking 1,000 yards. So, another good hard-hitting game, and Wenatchee is right now they're struggling. They're struggling. They're turning the ball over at least 5 times a game right now.
Oh man, you're not going to win many ball games doing that.
Yeah, the only bright spot was Brian Bailey, their running back. He still put up 120 yards. He had a good day. But when you become one-dimensional, eight in the box, stop the run, you know, can't throw the ball, you're it's going to be for a long day.
Yeah, it's, you know, you've seen it with so many other teams in the past. It's one of those things where when you get a good running game going, it can open up your pass game. And if you cannot, I mean, it's like they complement each other so well that if you're not really able to do one very well, the other is not going to usually happen very well, and you're going to get shut down. So,
yeah, exactly. And right now, I mean, Yakima and Blue Mountain are both undefeated, but they haven't played each other either. So it's right now Blue Mountain's in the driver's seat. They're number one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think if and when they do match up against each other, I'm going to probably go with the Stars, unless the Stars have some sort of major injuries or some sort of thing come up. I mean, that's just the way I see it. I mean, Yakima, right, I think, is a pretty strong team, but I think Blue Mountain's just a powerhouse. I mean, I think that's a difference between a 2A and a 4A team as far as, you know, like, you know, you just, I don't know what it is about Walla Walla, but they, or Blue Mountain, but they just seem to have everything going for them. So
they do. Right now they're playing really well. You know, they're Brett Jay. He was the offensive MVP of the league last year. Their quarterback, he's continuing to put up big numbers. Brandon Tate is having the, you know, year of his career right now. And, you know, they've got really, really deep at receiver. Their defense is pretty stacked. I mean, they're definitely the team to beat. Are they beatable? Certainly. I think they are. And, you know, like I said, I'm not sure. State Line has to play them yet, and Yakima. So, I mean, they easily could end up losing one of those. But when it comes time for predictions, I think I'm going to have to call you on that one, because that's going to be a tough one to pick.
So, gosh. Okay, last but not least, of course, the Palouse Thunder, and they were at the Tri-City Knights. What happened there?
Well, final score was Tri-City 41, Palouse 0. Taliina, right now I can tell you he's probably going to end up with the offensive MVP, because he threw four touchdowns, no interceptions, and then he ran two more in. He had six total touchdowns.
And this is just, as we talked last week, this just a reminder, he is the former Cougar quarterback who left to go to where?
New Mexico.
New Mexico, yes. And now he's playing in the EFL for the Tri-City Knights.
Yep. Yeah. He. I've just got their game film today. Haven't. I do the stats for the Knights. So I'll get a chance to see what his exact numbers were. But I know those were the scoring. His owner called me as soon as the game was over, lobbying for him to get a, you know, Player of the Week on offense. he had a big day. The thing here was, is the Thunder, from what I understand, went up with only six linemen total, offensive and defensive.
So you have six really big, relatively out-of-shape guys trying to play both ways for 60 minutes or so, 45 minutes?
And Tri-Cities was at home, and they had their full roster of 55, so.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah, it's a minor league football at its best, you know. I mean, injuries happen, family, you know, you have work, that kind of thing, so. Unfortunately for them, they just were not able to travel at full strength. But there were some bright spots. You know, Andy Atkinson, I believe he only threw one interception. So, you know, he's continuing to improve. Again, I haven't got their stats in yet. So,
now,
I do the stats for the Thunder, too. Forgot about that.
Now, here's the thing I don't understand. And why is it a bright spot when somebody throws an interception?
Because it was only one and not three or four.
That just doesn't seem like a bright spot. That's an it's interesting because we started off the season with two quarterbacks, and I've noticed the last couple games. The first game it sort of platooned. We started with Craig Shaver and then went over to Andy Atkinson for the second part of the game,
mm-hmm.
and then. After that, I know the other games that I've seen, it's been Andy all the way. And at the last home game, Andy was quarterback, and he actually ended up throwing a touchdown pass to the other quarterback, Craig
yep.
Shaver. Now, what's interesting, though, is that I don't know. I haven't asked anybody, so I was wondering if you have any insight as to why Andy is the full-time starter. Is it one of those things where they're still trying to decide and he ended up winning the position? Or is there something going on with Shaver or what?
far as I know, and from my limited knowledge anyways, I haven't had much time in the Thunder camp this year, but from what I understand, Andy won the job. He was the biggest down. I mean, Craig Shaver's a good quarterback as well. I mean, he's got a good arm, he's got good vision, but he's not very mobile. And in this league, you've got to be mobile. You got to be able to run, and if you can't, you're going to give up a lot of sacks.
Okay.
And I think that's basically what ended up being the deciding factor is Andy can run the ball. You know, he's much faster, has the ability to do that. So.
Right. And Andy does.
As far as I understand, yeah, he just won it outright.
Okay. And I was going to say Andy does have the advantage of having been on the team now for a couple seasons and probably knows the offense a little bit better than Shaver is coming in from another team. So.
Yeah, this is not taking anything away from Craig because Craig played with the Miners 2 years ago, and so you know he is a good quarterback. But I think the mobility became an issue, and especially when you have a patched up, injured offensive line where you don't have full strength starters.
Right.
You're going to end up running a lot, and you know if you have a quarterback that can't run, you know you're in trouble. So.
Sure. And so. Now, my understanding is Lanny Peterson got injured during, like, the first game of the season?
It was the preseason game, not league game, when they played the Knights up in Tri-Cities. He tore his, I know it was his ACL, and I was also told he may have tore his MCL as well.
Right. So, unfortunately, he's going to be out for the season, and I don't know if he'll be back next year or not, but he was pretty much one of the only – he's one of the last remaining original Palouse Thunder players. So,
yep, and you know, I talked to Lanny, and Lanny wants to play next year.
Well, that's good.
He wants to battle back from this.
Good. Yeah, he really, in a lot of ways, he's sort of the quiet leader of the team. You know, it's like, you know, sort of the guy who's there day in and day out, and, you know, through thick and thin, he's the one that's there, so – I definitely wish him the best and hope that he does return. So,
he is the heart and soul of the Thunder. I mean, this guy, he comes to work. He is your typical blue-collar guy. He gets in there, gives it everything he has on every single play. You know, he's the first to congratulate you when you do something and then pick you up when you make a mistake and, you know, let you know that, you know, it's okay. You can, you know, make up for it on the next play. He's everything, and he's a phenomenal athlete. It's unfortunate he got hurt the way he did, but that's football. Unfortunately, you know, that's the ugly part of the sport. You know that knee injuries happen a lot, so
they sure do.
I fully expect him to come back next year and put up big numbers.
Well, I'm glad to hear that for sure.
Oh yeah, he's great. He's a great player.
All right,
he's a great player and a good guy.
Yeah, and you know he would definitely is going to be one of those guys that's going to be nice to have on the team. And you had mentioned to me that there's some announcement you wanted to make.
Yes. What we're going to be doing is this year I'm organizing a charity golf tournament. It will be called It will be in Moses Lake, August 11th. I've got a lot of details to work out yet, but it's going to be a charity tournament, four-man scramble, and it will be called the Kottner Car Classic. And everybody, we've kind of touched base on that a little bit last week, talking about how David Kottner, the Okanagan County Commandos running back, who suffered a knee injury their scrimmage right before the season started, his daughter, four-month-old daughter, passed away 3 weeks ago. Also, Dean Carr of the Spokane Sabercats 3 years ago on Christmas Day lost his son. And so what we're going to do is we're organizing a charity golf tournament that we want to make this an annual event, raise money, give half of it to the Kottner family, where they designed a scholarship for a local athlete in Okanagan to go on to play college sports. And then Dean Carr is really big with the Guild School in Spokane, wishes to donate money to them. So we're going to make this an annual event, raise money, play some golf, and do this for a good cause, you know, in the supporting of those families.
Well, that's cool. And I know you are a huge golfer. I think you go out and pretty much go every day almost, or every day you're not working.
Yeah, I play about 4 or 5 times a week. In fact, that's where I'll be heading out after I get done talking to you today.
Yeah, you heading down to the Colfax course, or are you going to Lewis?
Yeah, Colfax. Okay. Colfax today. So,
nice.
Something we're going to do, and then, like I said, I put a post on the message board last night on the league website wanting to get interest, and within 5 minutes I already had 10 responses.
Wow. People are all over that.
People said, let's do it, you know. So we're looking at having it at Sage Hills Golf Course down by Moses Lake. So August 11th is the date, but I've got a lot of planning and things that we have to do. So, but raise the money for these two families.
Sure.
You know, and their time of loss. And, man, you know, have some fun playing some golf.
Heck, yeah. So we have four games coming up this week. And,
we do.
Yes. And I was going to say maybe do some prediction time. I don't know what your guesses are.
Okay.
But I will give you mine. And I can see why now that these can be a little bit tough. Because there's a couple in my mind that were more or less no-brainers. And there's one here that I'm just going, oh, my. I started looking for a coin. I was like, I'm just going to toss a coin. I'll be just as I have just as good luck as guessing. I mean, holy smokes. I was looking at them like, okay, well, we got these records. They're about equal. I got these scores on these games. Well, they're about equal. So, I mean, it's just like they seem like they're going to be lined up equally straight through and through. And now that I've described that, just to see if we're on the same page here, do you know which of the four games I was speaking of?
You were probably talking about State Line and Tri-Cities, I'm sure.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't?
That to me, no.
Oh, Scotty, no, that's... that one has got to be the most difficult one. The only other one that I had trouble with was Wenatchee Spokane.
That's the one I'm having a hard time with. To me, Tri-Cities and State Line, that's a no-brainer in my book. And like I said last week, I'm not going on the knowledge of the team this year. I'm going by the knowledge of the reputation of the team.
Okay.
And that's what I'm more or less basing this on, because like I said, I really don't know very much about a lot of these other teams other than the Thunder. And, you know, of course, talking to you each week, I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to say is you got Okanagan County Commandos at Yakima Mavericks. And I'm going to definitely go with the Yakima Mavericks.
All right, I'm with you on that one.
Okay, the Tri-City Knights at State Line Sabercats. And
State Line Miners.
Miners, excuse me. It's the Spokane Sabercats. I knew that. That sounded so wrong when it came out. Okay, so Tri-City versus State Line, and they're at State Line.
At State Line.
At State Line. And you said this was going to be a tough one. This was a coin toss. To me, this was like, duh, Tri-Cities, without a doubt, hands down. That's my pick. I mean, hands down, it's Tri-Cities. It's not a nail-biter. It's not the last 3 seconds of the game. They kick a 50-yard improbable into the wind with the snow-blowing field goal to win it. No, this is a hands-down game. That's
okay, well, Tri-Cities, yes, I'm with you. I agree. Right now, I think both teams have they arguably have the two best defenses in the league. Yeah. That part of it is a stalemate on that.
Okay.
Offensively, Tali Ina and that offense is really starting to click. And
there you
he's
go.
Getting more comfortable. He's getting he threw no interceptions this week. I mean, the guy scored 6 touchdowns.
Sure.
So as to where State Line has they should be one of the better offenses in the league as well. But their offense is still struggling. 3 times they got into the red zone this week, and they turned the ball over. That was a big difference.
You're not going to win games doing that.
Yeah, fortunately for them, they did. They still were able to win. But
well, weren't they? They were playing Columbia Basin, weren't they?
Okanagan County Commandos.
Oh, you're talking State Line. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, State Line, yeah. So you know, and it's kind of funny, as I was just talking to the middle linebacker for State Line this morning, and we usually talk about it every Monday morning. Casey Lawrence, and we were talking. He goes, you know, if I was on the outside looking in and not a player, he goes, I'd pick Tri-Cities to win this game too. He goes, but I'm going to try and win this game for my team. He says, you know, what can you say? I mean, they're 2-time league champions. You know, they have a great quarterback. They recently signed 2 great receivers in Blake Schoenberg, and Mario Ramirez came back to them.
Wait, Blake Schoenberg, he used to play for them, didn't he?
He used to play for Walla Walla.
Oh, he traded.
And he went to Tri-Cities this year. And Mario used to be with Tri-Cities the last 2 years, went to Walla Walla. I guess, just didn't really fit into their system and got a release and was able to go sign back with the Knights.
Gotcha.
And
yeah, I was going to say, I definitely remember the name Schoenberg from...
He's all-time league leader in touchdown catches and receiving yards. He's not the actual all-time league leader. He's just in the list.
Yeah.
So he's a good receiver.
Right. And, you know, actually, what the funny thing is, when I picked Tri-City, I wasn't even thinking about their new quarterback and all these other things. Like I said, I'm going by the history, the impression that I get from the reputation of the team overall, you know, it would be like if it was the early 90s before the 49ers got really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just basing this on the fact that during the 80s, it was a dynasty. It was always the 49ers winning every football game. So it's the same kind of thing to me right now, but I'm going over a shorter span. It's just like, in my mind, these are the teams that have always been strong. These are the teams that have been weak. And so, but, you know, now that you've sold me on my Tri-Cities pick now. I mean, before that, after you said I should be worried about it, I was a little bit. But then now that you said what you said, I'm like, why am I even sweating this one? This one is a no-brainer, hands down, like I said before. So
I think that Tri-Cities is going to win that game, but, you know, the thing is that State Line has Josh Queen and Jonathan Simmons at D-tackles.
They do.
They are phenomenal.
They are good.
That is the 1-2 punch, the two best defensive tackles in this entire league.
And if you got a line that's halfway decent that can slow them down enough, I believe that you have a Division I quarterback who can neutralize some of this stuff. I mean, he saw people like this, I'm sure, every single game. For a couple of years. So, you know, to face it for one game and just the realization that, you know, you just got to get a couple guys that can give them a few seconds. But then again, I mean, but a lot of it does come down to the line. If you have a relatively weak offensive line and you got these studs out there on the end, you know, they're going to get around. They're going to rush your quarterback. You're going to get your quarterback sacked. He's going to force passes. And if you got a decent backfield for your defense, they're going to be picking off some of these rushed passes, which is going to make the quarterback ineffective, which will then make the offense ineffective, meaning that then the Tri-City defense needs to step it up in order to stop State Line. And, you know, I mean, so it's sort of funny how everything can domino, and, you know, it all starts off with the line. You know, it's those five guys on the offensive line or the three or four defensive frontmen that, you know, they don't get a lot of the accolades that a running back or a quarterback will get. But if not for them, everything else falls to pieces. So
yeah, just ask Barry Sanders what he, you know, would he prefer. He'd tell you an offensive line. So
yeah.
And you're right. And defensively, the Knights against Spokane, at least last week, they held the Sabercats to -1 yard rushing for the entire game.
Ouch.
And Nick Petrie is the guy they stopped who this week had almost 200 yards rushing. So, I mean, Tri-Cities has got a good defense and a good D-line, too. So, I mean, it is going to come down to it's basically going to come down to Taliaena.
Yep.
Is what it's going to do. And the thing is, the guy can run. Those D tackles are not catching Tali.
Huh.
That guy is legitimate 4.5 40 speed. So, yeah, I mean, you got that one. So, yeah, now I'm thinking about more, I'm really convincing myself even more about my pick.
There you go.
Keep going, Scott. You're making me feel better.
Good. Okay, so
yeah, I got pick Tri-Cities over State Line. I'll
okay.
On the road.
Yep, Tri-Cities over State Line. Yakima at home over at Okanagan.
Yeah.
Wenatchee at Spokane was my toss-up. My mind kept on telling me Wenatchee is going to take this one. My mind kept telling me that it was going to be Wenatchee. It's going to be Wenatchee, but something about it kept telling me no. Spokane's at home. Overall, Spokane. I think. I mean, to me, and this is why I'm going with. You know, I said I'm using the history, the reputation of the team. To me, the Wenatchee Valley Rams are a good team. In my mind. And at the same time, Spokane was a mediocre team in my mind. But I'm believing that Wenatchee, this season I'm feeling that they're not living up to the reputation they had earned before.
Yes.
And Spokane is living past their old reputation. So when the coin was tossed, it in my mind, it landed on Spokane winning this game. But it's going to be close. And like I said, any given minute I'd go, I mean, I was switching back and forth, back and forth. And I really wanted to say Wenatchee just because of the history of the reputation. But I'm going to go with Spokane on this particular game.
I'm with you on this one, and this one was a tough one too. And then I tried to break it down, and the big differences are is A, Wenatchee is throwing way too many interceptions. I think as a team, three non-league games and three league games, they've thrown I do believe up to I think it's 18 interceptions already.
Wow!
So they're turning the ball over a ton.
Painful.
They do have a good running back. Brian Bailey, he is a phenomenal athlete, and he's playing pretty well. He just put 113 yards against a stingy, you know, Blue Mountain Stars defense. But, you know, here's the thing is, and also, well, the other, and on the flip side of that, Wenatchee cannot stop the run. You run between the tackles all day long against their defense. So, and then you throw in the whole fact of Nick Petrie, the running back for Spokane, who just put up 200 yards last week, and he's number two in the league in rushing. I think it will be a close one, but I go Spokane. My gut, I'm with you because Wenatchee has been a rock solid team in the last 2 years. But same token, they're struggling offensively. They can't stop the run. Spokane runs the ball well. I think Spokane wins a game, and I don't predict scores, but I say it's going to be probably 3 points or less. It's going to be a tight game, but I think Spokane's going to win their first game at home. This year, they're 2-0 on the road, but they're 0-2 at home. So they haven't won a home game yet. They're due.
Yeah, and like I said, I thought this was going to be a really close one as well. And the final game, the Columbia Basin River Hawks at the Palouse Thunder.
Yep, which will be at Lapway High School.
Lapway High School. There has been a venue change, not Washtenaw anymore. And, you know, ironically, I was actually looking forward to going to Washtenaw because my plan was after that game, I was just going to continue going to Seattle. you know, because that's what I did last time when I came to Washtenaw. I actually left Seattle and just drove straight to Washtenaw, stopped there, and then continued on into Pullman. So I was going to do it the reverse this way, and I was like, well, perfect. I can just do it on the way home, or on the way back to Seattle. But unfortunately, I get this information that they're switching to Lapway, which, let me tell you, as the announcer, that is great. I'm going to be able to see the field a little better. I'm not going to have to sit in the cab of my truck on a hillside and try to use a wireless microphone and play music via the speakers on my truck. I'll be able to set out the stuff a little bit better. I mean, I really appreciate the fact that we were able to play at Washtenaw. I appreciate the hospitality they showed towards us, and we even had Washtenaw is a small little place, but we even got a sponsorship out of them from one of the townspeople or actually one of the businesses in town. And, you know, so there's a lot of that. But realistically, I mean, we're from the Palouse. We're not from Central Washington. And playing in Washtenaw really hurt our fan base. You can't get that many people there. To Washtenaw. It's just such a long drive. And even Lapway, you could argue that it's pretty far for the Pullman Moscow people who, you know, might go to the game on the afternoon because, you know, it's right there and convenient. But it's a lot closer, so it's going to be easier for players. It's going to feel like more of a home game for the rest of us. Locker room facilities are going to be, reasonably well there. And it's sort of cool, too, because you get a lot of the locals who will come to the game, and after we score touchdowns, they'll light off fireworks and everything.
I noticed that 2 years ago, and then I remembered that's the reservation area, and you're allowed. So, you know, the Thunder, if anything, can say they're legally able to fire off fireworks when they score a touchdown.
Yes.
And it's the only team in the league that can do that. So nobody they have got that. They have that going for them, too. And Lapway, it sounds like they're going to get some pretty hefty sponsorships down in that area. It's a big reason for the move, and they want a permanent home.
Yeah. You know,
this is my home. So.
You know, and I have to say I've used Jennifer Field, Bengal Field down in Lewiston. I've used Lapway High School. I've used now Washtenaw and the Kibbe Dome. And, of course, the Kibbe Dome you know, heads and shoulders above all the others. But, you know, you're talking about a college facility that has, you know, a speaker system that is great because it's all indoors. You have, I mean, the way everything's set up, it's just awesome. That's by far my favorite place to work just because it's so well set up. Lapway High School, the one big problem that I have there is to get to the press box, you actually have to go up this one ladder that's, you know, flat against the wall. And the problem is that when I have my bags and everything with me, the hole that they have to get through is just big enough usually for a person, not really for a person plus bags. So I got to either hand the bags up or do whatever to get the bags up there. And, you know, I mean, the ladder itself is not a big deal. It's just the matter of getting, you know, transporting the stuff up and down is sort of a pain in the rear end. But they actually have reasonable facilities, as did Bengal Field. Washtenaw, of course, is a small little place, so they didn't really have a whole bunch to offer. You know, so I would love to see the, you know, but as a player, I know that the turf at the Kiwi Dome is hard and is not very forgiving. I mean, it's a cement floor with, you know, a little bit of padding and the turf on top of it, pretty much. Whereas when you go to Lapway High School, you got a natural grass field.
Yeah, you know, it's better on knee injuries. I mean, Kiwi Dome was infamous for
exactly.
ACL tears.
It's much better for the players overall. So
yeah. So yeah, Lapway, you know, and that was happy for them, you know, and we're gracious, you know, thankful that Washtenaw was so generous and nice and offered the Thunder a place to play when they needed it. So, and they were very understanding of it. You know, I've been kept in the loop about everything, and the contact people over at Washtenaw, you know, understood why the Thunder needed to move, you know. So they were very nice about it and said, you know, keep us in the mind in the future if you ever need anything.
Well, that's good.
They left on good terms.
Well, that's good. You know? That's good. And, you know, I mean, I know that this is a different Thunder team than we've had in the past. So, you know, I'm sure just the overall experience they had with that first game that we played there was probably pretty positive.
They got some tickets over to them, and, you know, they're giving away some free tickets to the game down Lapway to the community, you know, saying thank you. And
yeah.
And stuff. And so what do you think about this one, Scotty? What's your pick?
Well, once again, I'm going with past histories of the team. The history of the Columbia Basin River Hawks has been and still is in my mind as a team that's struggling, a team that's still trying to find itself, a team that needs a couple new pieces. And, you know, I mean, they're the team that is always in the cellar, but they're always working their butts off, and they're always out there fighting. You know, they're the underdog that you root for. You know, they're the Rudy, but unfortunately, they're not getting the wins at all, and you know, they don't get that feel good, heartwarming thing at the end of the season where they like came from the back of the pack to win the whole thing. Unfortunately, it's real life, and they stay at the back of the pack. So this is one of those ones in my mind that was a no-brainer: the Palouse Thunder at home in Lapway,
and at home. Big.
Yeah.
I will have to say, and this is nothing against Columbia Basin. They are a new franchise in our league, and, you know, being the little brother, you know, they got to take their shots on the chin, just like, you know, as it is in life. But they do play hard. They play well. They play really hard for the first half, and they've been in every game at halftime. You stop the game at halftime, they lose their 0-3. They lose their games 8 points or less, every one of them. Unfortunately, they just don't have depth. And so second half, they run out of gas. And right now defensively, they're giving up on the average of 475 yards on offense per game. They just gave up 500 to Walla Walla this week. So Thunder, this is going to be a big momentum game for them. I think they're going to win. They're going to win big, and they're going to need it because the next week they head off to Wenatchee, and that's a big game. If they want a chance at the playoffs, they need these next two games to go in their favor.
And the Thunder definitely have the opportunity to beat Wenatchee.
Oh, yes.
As long as they get enough guys to show up that they're not going to be having to play Iron Man the whole entire game. You know, they need to have some rest for the line. They need to have some backup for the line. So
you do, and because Wenatchee's got depth. They've got 65-plus guys on their team, so, and they're going to be at home, so players are more apt to make home games as opposed to road games in, you know, in minor league ball. That's just the way it pans out, unfortunately. Not all teams travel well. But, you know, like I said, this is this could be a big one for them, a feel-good for the Thunder, which is much needed. I mean, they did win 2 weeks ago, which was their first win since June 11th of 2005. So
right. So
they're capable.
They are capable. Their defense is capable. Their offense with I think just like with anything, if you have a defensive line and an offensive line and they're trading sides, they're not even getting off the field, after a while, they're both going to be detrimented. When you don't have a good defensive line, you're not going to be able to slow down the quarterback. He's going to have all the time in the world to make the passes, which means your linebackers, your DBs, all those guys are going to be running their rear ends off with the receivers, and the receivers are going to eventually get open, and you're going to be hurting that way. You're going to have guys who can run 3-4 yards per carry because you don't have a line that's able to stuff them very well. And then on the other side of the ball, they're so tired, they're not able to stop the defense from rushing in and getting to the quarterback. The quarterback's running around like crazy, starting to make some bad passes, or the running back can't get anything even started because he can't even get going before somebody's there and he's trying to juke and get out of the way. So,
yep.
You know, having a line is so huge. And we'll definitely see if the Thunder can come away with having a you know, having a injured line like they have. I don't know
they're going to be fine, I think.
Do you know if Rob Dunn is going to be suiting up, or is he injured?
Rob Dunn has got a fracture, a non-displaced tibial plateau fracture. Which,
oh, that's right. I did see him on crutches, come to think about
it. Yeah, in basic terms, he's got a fracture in his knee that has not been completely fractured through. So if he does exactly what his doctors have told him, and I reinforced that today, I told him, don't even think about it this year, because all he's going to end up doing is fracturing it completely and have to be on the, you know, in the operating room. So
sure.
He's traded the pads for a clipboard. So he won't be back this year. I would actually be in the injuries of that sort. I require medical clearance anyway, so, and there's not a doctor going to clear him.
Okay.
Not with that injury, you know, he's lucky. Yeah, and that was the first knee injury I ever suffered when I played. Was a non-displaced tibial plateau, and it hurts. So every time you move, it feels like somebody slamming a knife in your knee. So.
Oh, fun times.
Yeah, good days. That's why those who can do and those who can't either coach or run a league.
Those who can't coach or run, there you go. All righty, so we got a golf tournament coming up. They can go to the Evergreen Football League, the Evergreen Football League's website, which is evergreenfootballleague.com.
Correct. Yeah, I'll have some more information as we go, and then all the up-to-date information, all the way down to what his team averages, you know, per game offensively, defensively. I spend about 20, 30 hours a week just crunching numbers and stats. So there's a lot of information for people to see.
Must be nice not having a real job, huh?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about being a paramedic. work 48 hours and get, you know, 4 days off. So.
There you go. 48 and 96 makes it relatively nice.
Yeah, when we're at the house, when the daily stuff is done, if you don't have anything else to do and your calls aren't there, well, spend more time working on it, and that's what I end up doing.
There you go. That's your little hobby to do in the evenings, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. It seems
5
like,
o'clock, I do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like a lot of firefighters have their evening hobbies. You know, some of them like to sleep. Some of them enjoy doing, you know, whatever other hobby. I know there's several guys that love playing their video games, and that's a really big thing with certain guys.
Yeah, I used to. My wife bought me an Xbox 360 for Christmas. But it only looks good in high-def TV, and I've got a 52-inch with high-def, so it stays home.
Yeah. So
we don't have that at the station, so.
So you spend your time crunching stats for the Evergreen Football League.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of time. Like I said, a good 20 to 30 hours in data collection, and I keep a track of running totals for the all-time league leaders, and we have active players. In fact, the last week, Brett Jay surpassed the quarterback for the Blue Mountain Stars, surpassed Scott Bigwin, who was the all-star quarterback for the Knights, in passing yards and passing touchdowns. So he's now the league leader in those two categories and still going.
And what exactly happened to Scott Bigwin?
He retired
off?
Yeah, wife-induced retirement.
All righty.
No, I think he was ready. He had a few injuries last year. And in the Northwest Regional Championship game, he actually had three separate injuries happen all at the same time.
Oh, no fun.
So he decided, you know, that it was time to
hang up the cleats,
hang him up and concentrate on other things. So he's a school teacher and he coaches baseball and football at the high school level. So he's spending more of his time coaching now.
There you go. All righty. Well, Jared, thank you for calling me up again. This was this part of the Evergreen Football League, Jared Edgington, the commissioner and founder. Now, the interesting thing, well, just like I told you, is I am not going to be on the air next week, and I'm taking the summer off. So this is our last show together, and I appreciate you calling in and keeping me updated with the Football League and making me a little bit more aware of what's going on outside of the Palouse Thunder, because that's sort of the extent of my watchings. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you doing everything you do for us, too. I mean, we just want to get the word out, and things are the league is growing, and in fact, I just got interest this week. We may be having a new franchise in Colville.
Colville? Wow.
Yeah, I got a little interest in that area. I talked to the potential ownership and gave him their to-dos, their homework, and gave him a timeline to, if he is serious, what he needs to have done to present to me. And so we may have expansion and a possible 10th team for next year.
Well, that would be good. All righty.
Yeah, it would. Growth is always good.
Yep. Okay, Jared, you have a great day, and good luck golfing today.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. Have a good one.
Bye. All right, see you. Bye.
Once again, Jared Edgington from the Evergreen Football League. We're talking about all the games coming up this weekend, which include the Columbia Basin Riverhawks coming to play against the Palouse Thunder. Palouse Thunder will be playing down at the Lapway High School, just north. Well, is it north? Anyway, just a couple miles outside of Lewiston. It's fun times. It's out there on the reservation, so the locals actually come and light off fireworks for us after we score touchdowns. So that makes it all the more fun. Anyway, like I said, this is going to be my last show, and you can stop cheering now. this is it for me, though, for the last next week. I got a sub coming in, so you'll probably get a chance to listen to some music and all that kind of fun stuff. Like, I don't play any anyway. And I think we'll try to keep this a relatively light show for the most part, since it is the final one. It is spring, and I'll tell you what, man, we are ready for spring. We're ready for summer, actually. We're ready. School's about over. Less than a week and a half to go for most people, I guess, unless you have a Friday final, which really is always so much fun. But anyway, we are just about at the end of the semester. We're just about at the end of the regular schedule for KZUU 90.7 FM, and we are just about ready to talk a little bit about, let's see here. Okay, I'm going to be off the air actually early today, too. Ted Powers, who has a show right after mine, has nicely agreed to come in and cover for me as I have to get back home. I was told about a meeting at work starting at 2. And I'm like, starting at 2? That's when I'm getting off the air. This ain't going to work. So Ted, once again, was nice enough to come in for me. And so really, this is going to be an hour and a half long show for me, and that's the final of the semester. And it's my plans and my hopes, if everything continues the way it's going right now, that I'll be back next semester. And in the meantime, let me play the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. All right, and that was the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. And you know what I forgot to do? Listen to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. The KZUU online stream is now running. Listen to your favorite shows from anywhere on planet Earth as long as you have a connection to the internet. Just visit www.kzuu.org. Click on one of the Listen Online links and we'll take care of the rest. Want to go to the Sasquatch Music Festival? KZUU wants to send you. Call this KZUU Sasquatch plea line. If you can convince us you deserve to go, we'll send you and a friend to both days, the Sasquatch Music Festival happening Memorial Day weekend, May 26th and 27th at the Gorge. For more information, visit KZUU.org or call our Sasquatch line at 509-590-2207. That's 509-590-2207. Can't sleep? Then tune into Howlin' at the Moon with your host, DJ Outlaw Heart, for the best psychobilly, rockabilly, SKA, and your undead needs every Tuesday from 10 to midnight. So, once again, we're staying on the light part of everything today. We had Springfest happening up there at the Vet Building, and that was, I think, a pretty neat event overall. We had a whole bunch of bands coming in. Talk about that for a tiny bit. We also I'm going to keep it light, but there was something in the paper that I feel that I have to discuss there's two things. I could probably spend the whole entire show talking about what happened at Virginia Tech. As you know, last week I didn't spend a lot of time talking about it because everything was brand new. There's a lot of stuff coming out. Now it's been a week, so everything and everybody is arguing about what could have been, what should have been, what might have been. How best to deal with this in the future. You got the pro-gun people over there saying, well, if people had their right to carry a gun, somebody there might have been armed, could have put an end to this quicker. Where got the other side saying, see, that's why we need tighter gun control legislation, because if the guns weren't there to start with, this guy wouldn't have had a gun to kill people. So, well, once again, I also did point out the fact that, yeah, he might not have had a gun, but he could have used the B word. It looks like it's spelled like tomb, but it starts with a B, if you know what I'm saying. I don't want to say it out loud because I know the FCC and the Secret Service and everybody else will come busting down the door here in the dark, damp dungeon of Smith Gym in order to take me off the air, because you can't say things like that anymore, because that just the word itself is a threat in certain places. Okay, so anyway, he could have killed people if he really wanted to. That was the point I was getting at. He just happened to choose a gun. But anyway, I don't really want to get into that. We're keeping it lighthearted today. The one thing I did have to talk about a little bit, because it's so near and dear to me, is just the personal freedom liberties thing. There was an article in the Daily News about the use of cell phones and tracking people with cell phones. And I was looking up some information online. And, you know, you have cell phone carriers out there. And if you check in your cell phone settings, there's actually a couple different settings, one of which could be to have the GPS tracking all the time. And one of them would only be for 911 emergency situations. And the idea is that if you turn on this 911 tracking, like, for instance, the Sprint phone that I have says that it will help the phone find where you're located in order to be able to help give you, you know, help serve you better or whatever. Or you could turn it on just for, like, the emergency 911 system, which, according to the FCC, 95% of all the cell phones, which is sort of a funny number, but 95% of all the cell phones out there, after a certain period of time, have to have this GPS technology that you need to be able to zero in on it. Well, the government, the police have actually used this as a crime fighting tool. The U of I student that got shot a couple weeks ago, I believe it was the end of March, the killer, Delling, was actually tracked down due to his cell phone and due to the fact that they had the GPS and all that kind of stuff in there. And you know, now we're getting into a situation of your personal liberties, your personal freedoms. At what point does somebody tracking your cell phone information and finding out exactly where you're at and when you're there? I mean, they can find out when you made a phone call. They can find out where you're making a phone call. They can tell if you were in a certain place because the cell phone hit off a certain tower. I mean, think about how your freedom, your lack of freedom thereof, your lack of personal liberties, your security, your anonymity is just thrown out the window having these great little devices called cell phones. You know, I'm not ready to throw mine away, but it's just one of those things. I really want to know who is tracking me and when they're tracking me. It would be interesting to know that. Granted, theoretically, nobody is. Nobody can be without a warrant. But at what point can somebody start tracking you and you don't even know it? I mean, What if somebody did want to try to somehow get a warrant and find out where I was on a certain time, certain date? And, I mean, granted, it could be circumstantial evidence towards something that might have happened in a certain area. But, you know, you get – it's just – it's one of those things where it's just one additional added thing onto our anonymity that's getting taken away. And it's interesting. So I checked my cell phone anyway, and – I made sure you cannot turn off the GPS feature altogether unless you totally get rid of the power on the phone. So essentially, if you turn off the phone when you're not using it, you can get rid of the GPS tracking portion. But as soon as you turn it on and use it for a call or anything, boom, they know where you're at. So if you really want to be anonymous, then you might just not use the cell phone anymore. But that's not realistic. That's not realistic at all. So I debated on pulling the battery except when I need to use the phone, but you know, that sort of takes away some of the convenience of people needing to be able to get a hold of me all hours of the day and night because of the work I do. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. I didn't really want to dwell on it too much because, once again, I want to sort of be a little lighthearted and everything today. And what's nice is Ted is actually already in the studio, and he said he's ready to go on whenever. And I was going to ask him to get on the air and talk about Springfest, and I wanted to find out from Ted why he did not like the some of the bands we had. So I'm going to get him to grab the mic there. So when did you get to Springfest?
Well, I went earlier in the day. I went around noon when the first two bands went on. That was pretty good.
Which were the first two bands?
Justin Klump, he was the winner of the acoustic battle bands. And then the Senate, which they were the battle bands winners. And they were really good. Talked to them. They did some cool stuff. And then I left, came back, and was disappointed by Everclear, to say the least. I saw them 4 years ago when they came here, and the sound quality was mediocre at best, and the lead singer was more than drunk, Art Alexis, and he was the only original member, so I wasn't too fond of the choices of the SEB this year. That's just my opinion, though, not the station. So
sure, no, that's interesting because you know you're much more of a music guy than I'll ever be. I like the Reverend Horton Heat, as you know, probably. You know, and I don't have much of a taste in music because most of the stuff I honestly listen to, and I don't know if I can say this on the air, but I listen to commercial music. So
don't we all?
don't be mad at me, please. Don't throw me off the air. No, but I mean, I got my Reverend, and you know, I have some friends that have bands that I listen to and everything. But I guess what's interesting is, you know, you had all these different bands coming out there, and of course, the Everclear coming out was sort of like a huge thing. Everybody wanted to come to that, and I mean, you saw. I don't know. You said you were there.
Yeah, there was quite. I was surprised there were that many people there, to be honest.
Really, you didn't think? I thought there was going to be more. Actually,
well,
I was surprised.
Because Everclear, well, they're kind of a passe band. They haven't had a hit song in like 10 years. So.
Ouch.
There's only one original member of the band left. It's kind of like you can tell Art Alexis needs a paycheck. So.
Oh, yes. So that's why he was there. You think is just to
put I've heard how much they paid to bring him in, and I was kind of surprised.
Is that a top secret sum?
I don't think so. I think you can ask the SEB. They said what I heard was $27,500.
Oh, wow.
Which is...
for an hour and a half set.
Of drunk music.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it was sort of frustrating when, you know, he starts a song and then...
Stops it
because he can't remember the words, and he tries it a second time, can't remember the words, and he's like, you guys like Led Zeppelin? So he started playing Led Zeppelin, like, sweet! And then just as the words were going to come on, he stops and he goes, we didn't come here to play classic rock, and he starts going off on that, and then he starts... Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
And then he totally disregards that song. I'm not going to play that racist song. I'm like, racist? What are you? Oh, my God.
It was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I was having a... sorry. I just hurt my back again. Anyway, I was having a frustrating time. I was really excited because there's like two songs of theirs that I actually do know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot
there's
of their
a couple. I mean, they had a fair share of platinum albums and stuff.
Yeah.
They were a successful band, but they're just kind of...
He seemed really full of himself.
The magic is lost, I'd say.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, he's sitting there and, you know, he does the songs that, you know, and he did the you know, Jenny, and, you know, they did do a few covers, Brown Eyed Girl. One person who was there, though, I was talking to her, she's a fan of their band, and she was getting mad because she said they kept on they stopped playing the full song. They weren't playing the full song.
Mm.
And I don't know if you noticed that, but I didn't know the songs well enough to know if they were cutting out parts or if they were
stopping early. I didn't notice that. I used to have some of their albums back in the day, but I didn't notice that. But I did notice all their songs started sounding the same.
You did, too. After a while, I was like,
It kind of melded together. I don't know if it was their newer material or what.
Yeah.
It was mediocre.
Sure. But, I mean, it was ever clear they came to WSU. It was probably one of the bigger names.
I don't know. The thing that I was more disappointed with was Mr. Belding.
Oh, really?
He didn't even dress up. And
dress up as what? A school teacher?
No, yeah. But, okay. His thing as a whole, it's all a gimmick, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And they brought him here. He didn't even stay. I think he was here for maybe 4 hours.
Right.
And they paid him $5,000.
Really?
That's a lot of money.
That is good money.
But he didn't do anything. He didn't do stand-up.
No.
He just hung out with people. I want to get paid $5,000 just to hang out with people.
Well, you know, my understanding there is that there, you know, the Evergreen talked about it a couple different times. There's the whole X factor of having Belding. It's like, you know, the whole, why in the heck is he coming? And, you know, sort of get the buzz going. And that's the whole point of him.
Just used to put on the posters and attract people that might not come,
right?
Which I understand.
And then
it seems like a lot of money. You can have like a TV commercial for $5,000, like a local TV commercial for
$5,000. Do a $5,000 giveaway to everybody who's
like
there.
A car or something, like a used car.
Every hour, if you get one of our staffers to sign this, we'll put your name in the hat, and then you can win 50 iPods.
There you go.
But you know, it was sort of cool for me at least because. You know, but I was going to say the other thing about Belding, Dennis Haskins is his real name.
Yeah.
He actually was, my understanding was he almost wasn't going to be able to come because of prior commitments. And he was able to make it in town for a couple hours, but he had to fly out early because he had to get like to Louisiana or some forsaken place down south somewhere where nobody really wants to go. But
yeah, it was kind of weird because he said it was the first time he's been in Washington also.
Yeah.
Which... I think he's based out of California. So
I know, it's like only way up in Washington.
Skipping a jump and you're there. So.
Exactly. It's like he would have stayed longer, but he didn't have any furs to trade for anything. The old trading post there. Yeah. No, but, you know, it was sort of cool with him. You know, he had this – there's a long line of people continuously waiting to get photos with him and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I stood at the front of the line for a while watching different people and some of the poses they'd get with him and everything. So it was really cool. And then – I was actually the last one to get a photo with him. Me and the guy who I was with, he got a photo with us. And then before he left, he goes, oh, wait a minute, guys, come back here. And then he pulled out these 8x11 publicity.
Photos,
yeah, and he signed them to each of us everything.
Cool.
So, yeah, it was pretty neat that he did that for us. And, you know, I was one of those people that watched Saved by the Bell religiously.
I must say, I used to watch it at least.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's sort of funny. I mean, to me, it's like in some ways, Belding was like an actual – principal of one of my schools or something like that, you know. It's like, you know,
back home
he was the principal at my school, man, for real. But no, so anyway, it was interesting to, you know, get a chance to see him. And
I thought the skiing was cool, or the snowboarding.
That was pretty creative. Yeah, it's like
the chainsaw juggler.
But yeah, Mad Chad, he actually came on an Up All Night a couple years ago.
Really?
He was up in the Cub in the ballroom. They had an Up All Night, and he was at that. So I got a chance to see him once a long time ago, and, you know, he's pretty funny. He was a lot of fun to do. And then Kyle Cease. I don't know. Did you see him?
I missed him because I didn't make it. I only came for Everclear set at the end.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I would have been interested to see what your thoughts were on Kyle Cease. Kyle Cease, I was laughing my butt off. But there was points of being politically incorrect pretty far.
He was pretty on the edge.
He was pretty edgy at times, yeah. He definitely – but, I mean, if you're there watching –
Drew Carey moment, maybe.
So he was – but it was funny. And one of the funny things, he was talking about having the CDs and DVDs that you could buy and that kind of stuff. And he said that he has an abundance of them. Normally they're $20, but because of this one thing, he's like, the airline lost my luggage, and that's where this stuff was. So I had a special shipment brought up for it. So now that they found the luggage, like right at the end of the show, now they have double the amount of stuff they needed. So they're going to cut the prices to $10 so people could buy it cheaper.
Mm.
And he goes, no, seriously, this is not a gimmick. This is not like something we do every time. This is seriously happened. And he goes, you know, honestly, I don't even care if you buy the thing. Why don't you, you know, burn one from your friend, and I'll sign that one too. I don't care. Just buy one. So
I like it when people are, they just want their content to be heard kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's more or less what he was saying. It's like, yeah, I don't care. I'll sign it if you buy it. And if you want, go home and burn it and bring the burnt copy back and I'll sign it.
Making a living off what he's doing. So.
Yeah, and, you know, he was, I really enjoyed his comedy. I wasn't sure who he was at first, but it was at the end of his set, he did this one thing that I'd seen actually on Comedy Central, and I didn't put the two together until after I saw him do it. And because it's one of those things, certain people have their signature thing,
joke,
you know.
Yeah.
You know, you got the redneck for Foxworthy. You got, you know, here's your sign by Ingvall. And this guy has this thing where he does a, he does this, like, we've, now that we've been together, or, you know, we've got these memories and whatnot, and do a montage of the memories we had together, you know. And of course it was only over that, you know, half hour set or whatever he did. And but it's funny because he'll start out wearing the same thing he did when he came on stage. Like, he'll wear a leather coat, he'll get on stage and take it off, and so he'll come out on stage and he'll sort of do it sort of slow-mo, and then he'll take off the coat, and then he'll, you know, he'll mouth some of the things, and he'll do the points at the right times that he was doing certain pointings. He'll, you know, I mean, he'll exaggerate some of the motions that he did, but throughout it, and it's like it's obviously not a step by step of the whole entire show, but, you know, it's the things that in your mind you'll key to going, oh yeah, I remember when he did that, you know, and that kind of stuff. And
that's cool.
And it was, yeah, so it was, when it was all said and done, it was pretty neat. And that was his signature thing. So when he did that, I was like, oh, I remember the guy on TV that did that. That must be the same dude. Okay.
Totally.
So that was cool. And then, of course, they had the human bowling ball thing.
I missed that.
Yeah, if you went to the other, you know, you had the center area with all
It was across the other side of the tent where that big inflatable slide or whatever.
Yeah, there were some people doing some crazy stuff on there. But they had this, it was a round metal ball that somebody would actually get inside of. And they get strapped into it. And then their friends would roll them and knock over bowling pins. That was fun. We got a couple of my friends that were a little bit on the intoxicated side in there, so we started by spinning them around really fast, hoping to get them to throw up. It didn't work though.
Geez, but.
So no, it was a good time. I think it was a pretty successful thing.
Yeah, I think the beer garden was a good idea. It seemed a little bit like out of the way though.
Yeah,
like it could have been closer to the stage, but
oh, that's true. It could.
But
have
I don't know. I was thinking though, if it was any closer to the road, that would might have been a problem.
Sure. No. It was the beer garden. I think was a good idea to have the beer garden there. I think a lot of people utilized that when I came in. Not to the beer garden, but to the show itself. It was pretty full, and it seemed like it was pretty full for pretty much the whole time. You know, it was one of those things. While Belding was there, until about 4:35 o'clock, it was really packed. And then it sort of died out. As a lot of those.
Well, there's the rain scare too.
Yeah, the rain scare drizzled a little bit, and then all the people under those tents, they all left around 5 o'clock.
Well, there was no free food.
That was
the difference from years past.
That's true, because I think a lot of people
this year. They only had like free drinks from Coke, but
yeah. That it was nice to have the pop and everything there, but yeah, I was like, I was starving, and I was going to send somebody that I was with to the store to grab some food for everybody and bring it back, because, you know, I mean, you know, the places that were there, it wasn't like they were outrageously expensive, but it was still more than I wanted to pay for what I was getting.
Slice of pizza for $5. Just go to
wait. It was that much?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was like,
it might have been $3, but it didn't look.
I heard it was like around $3.
You could go to Little Caesars and buy a whole pizza for $6.
Right, but we're not advertising for anybody right now, are we?
I'm just saying, I'm a poor college student.
Just saying. So
stating the facts.
Yeah. And if you're an alumni member, actually, this is sort of cool, a little plug for the alumni. If you have an alumni card, there's a lot of places around town that give you discounts.
Yeah, I know that, like the Creamery.
The Creamery.
Deals on Monday or something.
One of the oil-changing places gives you 10% off. One of the pizza places that might have $6 pizzas, they give you a free thing of breadsticks and sauce.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, bonus.
Do you have to pay extra for the alumni card or just donate some dough probably?
Yeah, you gotta join the Alumni Association. And if you do a lifetime membership, it's relatively expensive, but you can like pay on a yearly basis for a couple years and get it over with.
And then they won't call you continuously asking for more money? Or they still do that?
Oh, yeah. They're, as soon as you graduate, it doesn't matter if you're an alumni member or not. They're going to start doing it. I actually had a long conversation with one of the telemarketer people, because this lady calls me up. She's like, yeah, we're from so-and-so, and I'm calling for the College of Liberal Arts, and we have all these people who are trying to get majors, and we don't have, you know, and she goes on and does her spiel. I'm like, okay, I'm waiting, waiting. And she goes, well, can you donate, you know, X number of dollars, like $300 or $400 or whatever. I'm like, not at this time. I can't donate anything. Okay, well, we understand. And then she goes on with more of a spiel, and then she's like, well, how about $100?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
working it down.
You know, and I'm like, no, I can't do anything right now. And she goes on with the spiel a little bit more, and it was one of those things. My understanding was, or at least it used to be always, that a telemarketer could ask you like three times, and after you said no for the third time, they're supposed to say, okay, well, thank you,
go away.
Yeah. But I asked her, or she asked me for the third time, and I said, well, no, I can't, not right now, maybe later.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my three no's, and I'm thinking, okay, call's over. Well, she kept going. And I'm like, look.
Are we really that desperate?
Yeah. I'm like, look, I've already told you now three times, no, I cannot do it
cents.
This time. Yeah, exactly.
A quarter.
She was down to, like, dollars. And I'm like, no, do you not understand? I cannot do anything right now. Well, and then she goes on again. I'm like, look, I've told you no four times now, and you still keep asking me. I said $0. I can do $0. Zero. No is the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you – and she goes on again. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
How many times do I have to say no before you'll stop?
Yeah.
And she told me that they were instructed to keep going until they found a level acceptable to both people. I said, well, the level acceptable to me is zero. You're not going to find a better level than that.
Wow.
So – and then finally she kept going even after I told her that.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, who's your supervisor? So I called the supervisor. Mm-hmm. We talked on the phone for like a half hour.
Oh, wow.
And he, of course, you know, as a supervisor would, apologize profusely, apologize for this and that and everything else, and try to smooth everything over, and you know, make me feel like I was all
and
important.
They'll call you in a month, and
oh yeah, of course. And he pretty much said that. You know, it was a little bit of a training issue and misunderstanding with her. They were only supposed to go a certain number of times and then call it. And, you know, and he said, you know, he'll make sure that all the people there are retrained to understand that after a certain number of times of asking and having the word no being given to them to, you know, thank them for their time and ask to call again later on, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay. So anyway, there was a long conversation. That's sort of a, you know, I digress. I you probably don't listen to the show very often, but I go on tangents all over the place. And that's we went from Springfest to Colicoo, but anyway.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Springfest, it was good times, I think, by most people who were there. It was relatively tame, which was good. I know the police weren't busy dealing with too much stuff.
I don't think anybody got too drunk either.
No.
So.
There were a couple things with the crowd surfing and some of the people got a little rambunctious and tried to jump up on stage, and I think one guy actually ran across the stage at one point.
I guess I wasn't paying attention. I was kind of having side conversation during the whole concert. So.
Yeah, you're like, dude, okay, whatever, let's text my friend here because this is boring. No, that was the thing for me. It's like, I'm not a big fan of a lot of different kinds of music. I have like certain kinds that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would enjoy Led Zeppelin's one of my favorite bands, but I don't know if I would enjoy a concert by Led Zeppelin.
I would.
I mean, maybe I would. I can't say, but I've listened to some of their stuff live and I'm just not impressed by it. I've listened to like, say, Stairway to Heaven and Whole Lot of Love and Trampled Underfoot and all these songs for so many years, and the way I hear it is the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And when I go to a concert and they don't do it that way, they don't have the voice inflections that they would normally do, because I don't know if you've heard some of these live things, but it almost seemed like he would sing monotone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they'll do all these little things in concert that it's just like...
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a thing that Spectator, there's always a debate, like... Certain bands will play exactly what the record represents,
mm-hmm.
and everything, like even have backing tracks and all that business to make it sound exactly the same. And then other bands will kind of explore more and jam and not really stick completely to the structure of the song. But it's kind of, I guess it's just a, like,
what do you prefer?
Fan. It depends on the band, I guess. Like, if you're going to go see a jam band, you're going to go see a jam band.
Yeah.
But
what are jam
band like Fish or Grateful Dead, just kind of.
Grateful Dead was big on that. Yeah. I had heard, and I don't know if it's true, but I heard that when Grateful Dead used to go around, they would actually encourage people to record their stuff and distribute it.
Yeah, they were all about bootlegging, I think. So. I mean, yeah. there's a lot of bands that that's how they're all about that. Like Wilco, they're a modern day kind of country alt indie band, and they distribute their stuff on the internet. And they're doing well. They're successful. So,
So you got.
I just want people to hear them.
Yeah, so. I think there's something to be that you know. Just it's you do the music because you want people to hear it, not because you necessarily want to make
in
money
it for the money.
Or you could be like that guy from Everclear who got all those girls on the stage, and he's like, "Join an effing band."
He's also gone through a couple divorces and bankruptcy, is what I've heard. So.
Oh, really?
I think he has some bills to pay.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean. I guess, you know, somebody else had said, wow, Everclear has really fallen far since, I mean, they're playing the WSU.
Well, they played here like 3 or 4 years ago. That's why.
Did they really?
Yeah, they played here in the fall. That's why I was surprised we brought them in because, like, that's really close. I mean, only 4 years apart.
But then again,
they
haven't done
anything great in between those 4 years. That's
okay, there you go.
If they would have released, like, another really solid album, I could see bringing them in, but they didn't. They haven't done anything.
So now with the SEB, the guy who was like, I think the head of the SEB got elected to the ASWSU vice president position.
Yeah.
Tommy, was he the president or vice president?
I think
he was the vice president.
President.
So I obviously one of their big campaign things was pushing for this concert pass.
Yeah,
in order
heard about
to pull this
where
money.
You pay $40, kind of like a sports pass, and then
they would bring in some of these bigger concerts.
Yeah, they can generate more revenue to bring in bigger acts. But I'm a little reluctant about that because you give $40, but you don't know what you're gonna get.
Right, we might get like four concerts by Everclear. All right,
you might get four really bad bands or something, you know, or just music that you're not into. I'd rather just go to Seattle and buy two concerts over in Seattle. And
it would be interesting
know what
if
I'm
they.
Getting,
I yeah, it would be cool if they could bring over like Steve Miller. I mean,
yeah, or just bring it like a classic person.
Yeah,
I feel that the only thing I wish is like. They bring in people that aren't has-beens, kind of like people that are up-and-coming instead of already have, like, peaked. Because Everclear definitely has already peaked. And Whitman, this Saturday, they're having a show where there's this band. I'm sure you haven't heard of them, but they're on the preview rack, Menomina. So some of the listeners might know what I'm talking about. And they're bringing them free concert. They're up-and-coming band. They're, like, getting all these rave reviews, and they're going to be huge. And Whitman's getting them, but we brought in Everclear. That's
Whitman, as in the
Whitman College in Walla Walla. Yeah.
Okay.
So
they get this up and coming band, and we got Everclear.
Yeah.
Which you know,
and we're huge. I mean, we might not have as big of a budget, but still.
Yeah. You know what was interesting is when he was like when he went off on the people who were crowd surfing. He goes, "Guys, that is so 1994. This is 2007."
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
And
that's
like,
isn't that when you were like really big?
Isn't this isn't this the music we're listening to right now from 95? So
yeah, so I thought that was sort of funny. It's there's a lot of people crowd surfing though. I mean, it seemed like a constant stream.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was standing there. And it just seemed like a constant stream of guys were crowd surfing. Mm. Then they'd get down, they'd run to the back. And again, it was like, all right, I can go on the side again. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what Tommy does with if he can get his concert pass going. You know, it's one of those things where it's like if 5 people get it, it's not going to work. I mean, you've definitely got to get a good base of people
behind
it.
They have to promote it really well.
Yeah.
And the thing I think that they've already missed out on is everyone's already registered for classes.
Oh,
and when you register for classes, they have that checklist, sports pass, medical insurance, lobby fees, all that. And if they would have had the concert pass right there with an explanation, that would have been an opportunity for them to generate it. But now people have to go out on their own and do it.
Right.
So
it'd definitely be
a little bit more difficult.
Definitely.
So it'll be interesting to see if that flies or not.
Sure. So do you go to many concerts then?
I go to a lot of concerts. My band, we play a lot, so I don't get to go to as many shows as I'd like to, and I don't get to go over to Seattle as much as I'd like. But
what do you play?
I play drums.
Right. What kind of music?
Indie rock, and I'm in jazz combos and stuff. So
what exactly is indie rock? I mean, honestly, I'm embarrassed to ask that question because I've been on the station, and like when we did our previews of everybody, they're like 90% of the people do indie rock. I'm like, what is indie rock?
Well, indie rock
exactly?
has kind of changed. It originally, well, this is, I don't know, if, I'm not a historian, but it's originally was stood for independent music, where like indie labels and stuff,
gotcha.
But now it.
Indie as an independent.
Exactly.
And then it was
that's
just shortened to indie rock.
Yes.
Gotcha,
then,
that makes sense.
So, I mean, you can be an indie jazz label, indie rap label or something, but it's usually just means less corporate.
Like, right.
Less funding. Like, they aren't tied to a major label.
Right.
Although some of the indie rock has definitely been a misused term.
Right.
Late,
now,
as of late.
I've heard that sometimes what bands will do now is like, or labels, they'll actually make a lesser known label that's sort of funded by them, and then they'll put bands underneath that in order to make it seem like they're a non-commercial.
There are a lot of major labels that own smaller labels, or they'll eat up smaller labels that have a reputation.
Sure.
So. Yeah. It's kind of a way of deceiving the consumer, but it's pretty obvious.
Right.
If they're on MTV that they're usually not a independent label.
So like what's the Paper Cuts is sung by oh geez. It's I don't know. Gosh darn it anyway. I cannot think of who sings it. I'm having a heck of a time. My brain. Anyway, there's this one song that you know, it's like you look them up and everything. And it looks like they're all on this like small independent label and everything. But I think it's one of those situations where, you know, they're sort of
tied to Sony BMG or something.
Yeah,
or
something
Universal
like that.
Or one of the major four.
So why is it important or why is it good that this is an indie rock
industry
versus a you know, some sort of big commercial conglomerate? What's wrong with that?
I think the basis of the station here is that we're non-commercial in the sense that we're promoting music that usually isn't heard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, I mean, if it's on MTV, they don't need any help promoting their music. So we're helping smaller independent artists get their music exposed so more people listen to it. That's what I do,
right,
at least on my show. And I think that's what the whole basis of the station is.
Sure.
Because what's the point of playing, like, the latest, like, Linkin Park track? I mean...
Hey, now.
I mean, they're...
Uh-oh. We... You know... Okay.
Do I have to repeat my statement?
No. Yeah, a little bit. I think the big conglomerates just put a brain or a wave in on our studio and sort of messed up our microphone or something. Because right in the middle of you, right in the middle of
dropping
you, yeah, exactly. It's like boom, all of a sudden it goes off the air for a second. So
yeah,
but so you're not a big fan. I mean, I shouldn't say you're not a big fan, but so there. But you know, people always say with commercial music, you have this situation where it's the same. Everything's the same. It's like you got a cookie cutter. It's like cookie cutter music.
I think that
is what they're what people don't like about.
Yeah. Well, the cookie cutter music idea. My theory on it is that a lot of labels don't want to take any risks because,
sure,
I mean, if they risk some new artist and they flop, that's a lot of money that they've thrown out the window. So I think partially that's why they pick up the smaller labels and are trying to kind of subcontract their and not use their name.
Right.
So. It's a risky business.
Sure. So, okay, you mentioned Linkin Park. Are you a fan of Linkin Park?
I don't own any of their albums.
No? What? Now,
I did see one of their music videos today when I was eating lunch, and I...
And you almost threw up. You're like, oh, I can't eat anymore. I lost my appetite. Like, oh!
It was really cheesy.
Yeah.
I mean... I don't know. That's music. I mean, I don't mean to offend anyone. That's kind of the music that middle schoolers consume. Because, I mean, you go to Walmart, and what does Walmart have? They have, like, the top 10 albums in Linkin Park.
Ouch. That really, I mean, oh my. I don't think I've been stabbed that deeply for a while.
I'll admit, in middle school, I mean, I listened to Korn and Limp Bizkit. I wouldn't dare, like, listen to that today, but...
Sure.
It's kind of... It's easy to consume because it's out there and it's readily available.
Right.
But it's it also brings up another issue now with the internet. Like, for musicians, it's a helping point. Like, it really can help people get heard, but now it's so oversaturated.
Yeah, it's almost hard to find anything except...
You have to dig pretty deep.
Yeah, that's true.
Anything, so.
So, okay, what do you think about The Offspring?
I owned
Offspring sucks,
Americana,
right?
Americana back in the day. No, that was a big album, but
yeah,
I'm not like
conspiracy one. No.
I'm not a big fan.
Okay,
the guy's,
so that's
the guy's voice is pretty weird. We were listening to the other day, and I can't remember what it was, who I was with, but it was just like, it, he has a distinct voice.
He does.
I can't even describe
that's
it.
Dexter Holland, isn't it?
The
lead singer,
yeah.
I'm not really very good with a lot of band names and stuff like that.
It's a lot
as
of work
like
to keep up on.
Yeah.
And
but, you know, for me, Linkin Park, even after you said what you said, maybe that should make me feel young that I like Linkin Park.
Yes, Scotty, you're young at heart. Young at heart.
Either that, or I'm a pedophile. One of the two. That's sort of how I feel after you said that. Yeah, I'm listening to Linkin Park to try to pick up on the middle schoolers. I'm over at Lincoln Middle School tonight. If you want to come over.
Oh my goodness.
No, I've. You know, it's funny because Linkin Park had Crawling, and you know, from Hybrid Theory, and that was like the big song. And you know, I got the CD. And I started listening to it, and as I listened to it, I was like, wow, I like that song. Pretty soon, it was like, I liked the whole album. I really did. And then I got their new one, and at first, there wasn't a lot of songs I liked, but the more I listened to it, the more I started liking the songs. And, you know, and on those CDs, there's a couple that I really like, and then there's a couple that are really good that, you know, it's like, it's sort of weird. But, you know, The Offspring was sort of the same way. I got, gosh darn it, I got their album. It has Bad Habit and... oh, geez. I'm just having a smash. There we go. I got Smash. And there was a couple songs on there I really liked. Then I listened to it, and I started liking more. And then pretty soon I started buying all the Offspring CDs. Mm-hmm. And so far what I have found, Offspring is one of those bands that I honestly like every single one of their songs on every one of their CDs. I've yet to find a CD or a song that I don't like from the Offspring. But I'm also, speaking of the old stuff, I haven't bought their brand spanking new one yet. I've not bought. And I can't say that that's going to necessarily be the case. There's a couple of their songs that are, you know, I tolerate, that they're okay. And then there's some of them that I really like. Songs like Walla Walla, you know, sort of a, you know, it's sort of a fun song at times, or like, Why Don't You Get a Job, you know? Mm-hmm. It's sort of, you know, I'll listen to it once in a while. But
Why Don't You Get a Job? I think that's a cover.
Is it? It could be, but
yeah,
it's just.
Some of their
other songs are just. I mean, I really like the energy and everything in the songs, and so I'm a big fan of that kind of music. But then I also go back to my classic rock roots with your Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and AC/DC and, you know, all those other bands that are really huge from the 60s and 70s, from before I was even a kid. Thank you very much. And so anyway.
Spinning Daddy's vinyl.
Yeah. Actually, you know, the funny thing is my parents never listened to that. They were in the country.
Okay.
So, you know, Eddie Rabbit, or is he a country guy? Love a Rainy Night and Driving My Life Away. And, you know, just all the old country songs from the 80s, the early 80s are the ones that I was trapped in the back. This is no joke. When I was growing up, this is how it was. I was in the backseat of the car, not in a seatbelt. Usually I'd laid across the seat because I'd always get car sick or I'd feel really bad. So there we are in this green Nova driving down the road. I'm in the back seat, laying across the seat or bouncing around without a seatbelt on, without a car seat. My parents both in the front seat, windows rolled up, smoking like chimneys. And my mom, when I'd get home, she'd let me go riding without a bike helmet on. And, I mean, it was just one of those things. And then, of course, they have me trapped in a car with the windows rolled up, hotboxing me with their cigarette smoke, not making me wear a seatbelt, and playing country music. I think they were trying to kill me. So,
I'm surprised you're sitting here today.
I know. It's hard to imagine. But anyway, it's about 40 after. I do have to get running. I appreciate you hopping on the air with me to talk about Springfest. And like I said, Ted is going to be covering for me for the rest of the show and going on to his show and everything. So we're going to go to one more time of the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. And once again, this was my last show for the semester. Hopefully I'll talk to you next spring.